Blog Talk Radio.
Recruiting Animal here on November 18, 2015. Now, you know, if you're on Twitter, you're going to see messages every day about how great it is to fail, F-A-I-L. But you know that's ridiculous because nobody likes to fail. And you know why? Because failing isn't good. But the fact is, it's going to happen. And you have to know how to handle it when it does. And you know who you have to admire? Those software guys who say, fail fast and move on. Just go right into something. Fail, pick yourself up, and start again. Now, I just sound like the guys who were shooting out that same kind of pap on Twitter every day at this point. I know I do, but here's the difference. I'm going to tell you something they don't tell you, that if you don't learn this lesson, you're not going to lead a good life. Unless you believe this like you believe a religion, you're not going to be happy. And even when it comes, I hate it when I screw up, but even when it comes to religion, there's different degrees of belief. Lots of people say, you know, that they believe in heaven, but most of them, they also seem afraid to die. And they feel bad when someone else dies, as if something bad happened to them, when in fact they think, allegedly, they believe that they're going to heaven, right? You don't want to be a believer like that. You have to know for sure that when you fail, you are not going to die. You can rise again. All you have to do is believe, and then you'll pick yourself up and try again, just like I said. And if you're a recruiter, especially, you're going to make a lot of pitches every day, and most of them are going to get turned down. You are going to fail again and again and again, and sometimes you're going to get really close to a hire, and then it all falls apart. The offer is on the table, and suddenly head office puts in a hiring freeze, and you're in that position. You are going to fail, and you don't believe that you cannot die. Well, what I want to say is, if you don't believe, you have to believe that you cannot die when your deal goes down. And if you don't believe it, you better listen to Jerry. Jerry, what show is this?
This is the Recruiting Animal Show!
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you. You know, I didn't have a good sleep. That's my excuse for screwing up so many lines in my intro.
But I don't think people noticed it until you pointed it out.
Well, you think that's true?
Kind of like this big scar on my forehead. I mean, it's gigantic. But I don't think people notice it until I say, hey, did you notice it? And then they're like, oh, yeah.
See my scar? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We got a guy today.
Float through it next time. Just push through it. That's all I'm saying. Stop pointing out your flaws.
Yeah, I was talking about
failing. Though they may be.
Yeah, I was talking about failing, so when I flub a line, just keep going, right? Pick myself up and keep going. I believe in, that I can be a reborn failure. Okay, anyway, we got a guy today. His name is Tommy Marino.
Let me look him up.
Maybe
where would I find out information about Tommy Marino?
On LinkedIn. Thomas Marino III is his real name, and he is... Before we get going, he's anti-dinosaur. That means he's anti-you, Jerry, okay? I just want you to know, you are the target. He is against guys like you. Just before I bring him on, okay, he says there's plenty of people who are going to disagree with his ideas. They won't be around very long. I want you to know that, Jerry, before I bring him out. Tommy Marino, come on down.
Hi.
Are you there?
Now I think you're mischaracterizing me. My point is that nobody gives a damn about his elevator pitch anymore.
Okay, we'll get
about to
whose
that. Elevator pitch?
No.
Anybody?
Just wait a second.
Nobody wants to hear it.
Go ahead. Tell us what you're talking about. I'll introduce you later. Go ahead.
Sure. Look, I get an elevator pitch every week from the Boston Globe. Everybody's immune to this to high pressure sales, especially Purple Squirrels and recruiting who get 20 calls a day. They don't want to hear it. They're immune. You need to establish yourself. The oncoming wave, we're all hearing it more and more, is, you know, brand marketing, specifically making yourself someone worthy of talking to.
No, you need me to guide you. You are confusing everybody.
Help him out.
Yeah. No, we'll get back on track. Jerry and I were talking about you just before the show started. You told me that you don't know the song Suspicious Minds. Jerry said, is he American? And that was a valid question. What's
very
wrong
valid.
With you? You're tomorrow's your birthday. You're 36 years old, and you don't know some of Elvis's most famous songs?
That song was written how long before I was born? 10 years?
We're caught in a trap. It's endless. Hey, baby.
So was God Bless America. I mean, God Bless America is older than that. You know
yeah.
those words, don't you?
I do.
Okay,
so it's not an age of lyrics issue then. It's more of a... I think we've got you here.
Just give me one song. You don't know one song?
I am familiar with the song now that I've looked it up and I'm familiar with what you're
talking
about.
Okay, so let's do the first verse, okay? You ready?
All right, let's butcher
okay,
this.
Okay, I'll count to three and we'll go. One, two, three. We're caught in a trap. Yeah.
I can't walk out. Because I
love you
too much, baby.
Why can't you see
what you're doing to me?
Oh, I got it.
When you don't believe a word I say.
You know what? I tried to pace myself to Jerry. It didn't work out too well. Let's just do the
next. You can't do it over phone lines, man. It just doesn't work. It's not in real time.
Together with suspicious minds. We can build on.
I'm eating a chip now. I'm eating some chips.
Okay. Guest, your Twitter address is Market Recruiter, but it's the short form of Market. It's MKT. MKT on Twitter.
Come on, man. You got to use your real name on Twitter. Sorry. Maybe that's a bit too old school.
Yeah.
Well, old school Twitter handle.
It's
not my...
Tom Marino is actually a very popular name. There's a lot of these guys, so maybe he didn't want to be confused. Okay.
Tom Marino the III is not a very popular name. I can only imagine there's a few of them.
He can't fit it in, Tom Marino 3. Anyway, he's got TM3, another...
TM3, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. He's got another Twitter account as well. Headcount_guru. Headcount_guru. But that one is focused on big data people and open source. The one we're interested in is Market Recruiter, MKT Recruiter. Happy birthday. You're 36 years old tomorrow. But you say you've been in the business. You've been in the recruiting business since you were 20 years old. Did you not go to post-secondary school?
I did later on.
You went to night school?
When I was 24, I started.
Okay. And so, two-thirds of your time is spent in a corporate recruiting role, and one-third was in the agency side, you said. Is that correct?
Yeah, most of the agency side stuff was independent, except for the last couple of years.
Okay. So... for the last year, you've been focusing on inbound marketing, right, for talent. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, take the HubSpot model.
I'm reading what you sent me, okay? Don't give me a hard time. I don't feel well today, and I won't take it, okay?
Well, I haven't started giving you a hard time yet.
Okay, here's what you said.
Let's get some traction here, Animal. We're 10 minutes in, and we're going nowhere.
Says, I know too much stuff about tools and software for recruiting. I know too much. That's great. I want to hear all about it. And I'll just give your website, headcount.guru. That's going to be your site for software developers or something like that. Is that right? Yes or no?
Yeah, I'm going to new site, yes.
A new software developer news, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So you say, oh, geez, I'm currently, let me see, I'm currently neck deep in developing new talent sourcing and recruitment marketing strategies. What does that mean?
Making developing communities a reality, not just I have an email address in my system. That means he's in my community.
Okay, maybe I should ask a different question first. You said, going back to what we talked about before, the future of recruiting is marketing. Everybody, employers and candidates, they don't like hardcore sales anymore when it's used in recruiting. This is what you told me. Plenty of people who have made millions in this business will disagree with me. None of them will be here in 10 years if they don't accept the truth. You want to tell us a little about that, or do you want us to ask some questions about it?
Many of them will be in retirement, sitting on a pile of money, eating their dinner off a pile of money.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think many people will disagree. The business is changing more rapidly than maybe it has, at least since I've been in it.
How's it changing?
Technology is obviously playing a bigger role. That's been happening for a long time. But, there is a groundswell of calls for adaption of marketing technique.
Like that.
You know what? I'm going to have to guide you through.
He doesn't have it down, dude.
He doesn't. He says at the beginning, he starts off by saying he's against the elevator pitch. He needs an elevator pitch.
This
okay?
show is now, it's like, you know, like those shows where you go in, you tear a house down, you rebuild it, and then the bus pulls away and it's all there. That's what this show with TM3 needs to be. We need to break this guy down and get him pointed in the right direction.
Okay.
He's lost.
So what kind of technology are you talking about when you say the show is the recruiting business is being changed by technology? Very quickly, do you have one kind of technology that you want to name?
The breakdown of platform-based ATS. Big systems are going away. No, because they can't do everything right.
Okay. I'm with you.
And so what's the significance of that? So you're saying that rather than one ATS system, you should have a bunch of little ones that are integrated with each other? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Software has been doing this for quite a while now, microservices.
Okay. What microservices?
Is any of this cloud-based?
All of it. Always.
Okay.
We're getting there. Cloud-based, smaller, agile ATS systems are going to replace.
So you're a consultant, and you go into companies and tell them how to do this. Yes or no?
No. I'm a recruiter.
You're a recruiter. Okay. I was in the impression you're kind of a consultant. But what kind of what did you call it?
Microservices.
What kind of microservices should recruiters be using now if they want to stay with the current instead of becoming dinosaurs?
Well. My opinion is, the traditional thought of the ATS is kind of past its prime. I mean, especially as an agency recruiter, you know off the top of your head the 10 people you have in motion. You don't need something to track that. You need to track the 500 people you're trying to talk to. So I think that the onus is falling much more on CRM-type systems rather than ATS systems.
So give us an example. You said
I can almost agree with that.
Well, how do you agree with why would you agree with that, Jerry?
Your smaller agencies, they know the current activity that they have going on, candidates introduced, offers, processes. But beyond that, you know, there's level two of candidates and customers that you need to keep track of, but you don't need a giant ATS for it.
No, but you need to market to them, right? You need to, keep them warm, as they say, and then convert them.
Yeah,
sorry, I'm making a little extra sound here. I'm digging into my bag.
Tom, don't make me pull every word out of you. So you've got a So you just need a CRM to send messages out to the people you're interested in. Is that what you're talking about? What are you talking about?
Pistachios sound good. What do you mean, what am I talking about? We're talking about nurturing campaigns. We're talking about a combination of email and phone campaigns where you're consistently contacting people, developing relationships, and nurturing a relationship that turns into a converted candidate, a candidate that turns into
like
a...
Pardon me if I sound a bit lame or out of date here, but that sounds like old school recruiting. And I thought I was going to get the tips on how to stay in business for future generations, but that,
yeah,
to me sounds like what
hold
I've been
on
doing for 30 years.
Jerry, I think he's
I'm disappointed.
Look, well, I think
the front, because the front end of that whole process is all content marketing, which is the new and trendy thing.
All right.
That's,
I'll go with it. Content marketing, what is that?
That's what you're endorsing? Is that what you're talking about here, content marketing?
I'm not the only one endorsing it. Half the business is endorsing it.
Okay. Ah. It doesn't mean it's true. That doesn't mean it's true.
That means
true.
Between
so,
me and
you,
saying? Animal, one of us is endorsing this, and it might be me.
Okay. So, Jerry, is he saying that you working with your 10 hot candidates or your very live candidates, and then your 500 other candidates, you're sending email out to them, they're on an email list, and you get somebody to write articles about job hunting and send them out to them once in a while? Is that what you're talking about, Tom Marino III?
Generally, I mean, you can, as long as you're providing content of value, you will continue to have an audience.
And what
really
would that be?
Original content.
White papers on top 10 interviewing mistakes, how to dress for success, which fork to use at the company dinner party. I mean, what kind of content are we sending here?
Well, I would rather than – I mean, maybe that's a piece of it, but, you know, for in my situation, appealing to software engineers, I'd send them things that they'd, you know, be more interested in reading than how to dress for an interview.
Like
things
what?
That are really, you know, relevant.
Like what?
Things
about like
software
what?
Engineering. Software engineering tools. You know, things on big data, for example, which is the hottest topic in the world. You know, things that they
now,
give
you
a shit
about.
You don't
think that they've got 100,000 other sources of people blasting this stuff to them?
No.
See something from you and think, oh, Tom Marino's got something interesting about my career field. I should read this today.
Look at Twitter. That's all it is people remarketing
Twitter sucks.
Content. No, we'll disagree there.
Why? Argue with them. I want you to hear. Take Jerry on. Twitter sucks. How many software developers are following you in order to get your links to articles about software?
Also, not enough. It's never enough.
Okay. Specific.
Not enough. I got to tell you something.
See, that's not well, that's not an answer. Come on. If Twitter is an important tool, and I'm open to it. How is it used? And you just think, you know, you got 1,500 people signed up, so you're hitting the send link button. And I mean, how are you measuring that? How do you know what?
Here's a question, Jerry. Jerry, these recruiters who are recruiting software developers, they always tell us they're not software developers themselves. They don't have to be software developers. So how can they understand articles that are technical stuff about software for software developers?
Without looking stupid for sending it. You got to add that caveat on there.
Well, if
they
said something wrong, they'll look stupid.
Look stupid.
Tom Marino, how can you know what's going to interest a software developer when you're not a software developer yourself?
I tend to play it safe. I mean, send hot button stuff. Anything big data or data science is sexy right now.
Give me an example. Give me a title.
Give you a title?
Yeah, what kind? Yeah, nobody
Animal,
knows what
listen,
you're talking
can we,
about. Nobody knows.
Can
what
we
you're
hold on a second?
About.
Can we hold
Don't
on a second,
do this
Animal?
To us on the show.
Wait a minute. Tom was not prepared for this.
How
okay.
am I not prepared? I just told
no,
you.
No, Animal's badgering
data science,
you.
Big data, anything Hadoop related or Spark related, anything that's a new hot technology, people will read.
Okay, and then what?
I'm not sending the you know the intricacies of deep PhD level data science or computer science out to these people.
So why would they read
that? Would be well above
my head. Why would they read it? You're know nothing by their standards. You don't know what they know. Why would
they
read
don't know
what
that.
You're sending? How do you get them to sign up for you? Do you want to tell us? How do you get your 500 people to get on your mailing list?
I tend to use more traditional internet marketing type stuff, squeeze pages, you know, take a piece of content, drive them to a page, ask them to opt in. Once you have an opt-in is always better than a cold email, always.
Yeah, but hold on, Tom.
So you opt back out because you're like, God, what did I sign up for here?
Yeah, how do you get?
That's the first analytics that you'd measure. If people are opting out, you're screwing it up.
So you didn't really come to the show with any how-to. You're just talking high level. You don't have any stories to tell
us. This is stuff in the future, dude. This is stuff now.
This is stuff now, but he can't give us a real life example.
I thought this was how things are going to be. We're talking about how things are now?
This is quite prominent.
Quite prominent. Okay. Can I ask, though, because we never really did clarify earlier on, respectfully, I'm just wondering, what business are you in? What do you do for a living?
What do I do for a living? I'm a recruiter.
Okay.
And software.
Are you a solo agency? You work with an agency? Do you own the firm?
I'm solo.
Okay, independent guy. All right. And your main recruiting is outbound marketing, a.k.a. tweeting, a.k.a. emailing?
Yes, yes. I mean, I'm...
Content push, that kind of stuff?
Correct. I'm trying to say I am very far from inertia on, taking the HubSpot model, for example, which is inbound, right? So you're driving people to you rather than driving stuff down their throat. And adapting that to recruiting. I'm far from the only one trying to do that. That's not an
okay. Gotcha.
An
very cool. And Animal's preamble to the show and build up over the last couple of days has been old timers, guys such as myself in my 40s. We're going to be out of business here after a while. Either we've made so much money, we're just going to retire, which is kind of the plan, or we're going to be washed up. By
you in 10 years, you're retired.
Nah, I don't see any reason to really ever to retire. I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly.
So you might as well just keep on recruiting anyway.
Right.
So
right.
You're on to the newer breed of recruiters, which is this whole don't call anybody, just push the content. Sorry for the long delay here. Can I ask what kind of numbers you work with? You know, you're making a placement every week, every couple of weeks, two a month, one every couple of months,
a
big one every year.
No, two a month.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Our business is always going to be about talking to people. It's about how you get to that first conversation and how warm that conversation is. And
I would agree with that, yeah.
And the elevator pitch approach is becoming increasingly difficult, especially in my market where these people are hounded by 8 million people who are jackasses.
I'm with you.
So it's hard to differentiate yourself.
I'm in the same market, dude. I might be the jackass that just called your guy before you reach out with a nice white paper on Hadoop.
And look, I'm sure you're amazing at what you do.
No, not really.
But I, you know.
But I can't afford the good pistachios.
Oh, look, I got
40 ounces of them right here on my desk.
Tom. Yeah, so hold on. How do you get those people to be on your mailing list? And once they're on your list, do you try to figure out who are the good guys and who are the driftwood? I mean, I don't understand how does this mailing list work? How do you get people to sign up?
Well, you go to – rather than, you know, for example, the job board approach, which is probably the most antiquated thing I think that we do, you market where they are rather than expect them to come to you,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
So
wait. Let me stop you there. Be concrete. Where do you market on GitHub or Stack Overflow or where are you marketing? How are you – or on Reddit? How are you getting people to sign up? Or are you making your site with SEO so friendly you've got a landing page that Google is sending them there?
No,
faster than it sends to other recruiters.
Oh, that would be wonderful, wouldn't it? Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm not that brain surgery-ish. Quora is another place. There's a lot of software engineers who post quite a bit on Quora. There's also a place to differentiate yourself as someone with thoughts. Which is
hold on,
an important
hold on Quora. I read Quora. How do you get people to sign up for your newsletter there, your article,
you don't.
Your email?
You see other people that post there. You identify
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
You post where they post, and you post like a human. And
yeah.
then, you know, market to them elsewhere. Either send them an email, I saw this, or, you know, if you can find them somewhere else on the internet and market something, you know, put some sort of material in that place. Follow people around and make yourself visible.
Okay, so you're sourcing by kind of lurking on groups, discussion groups, and then you're approaching them. But God forbid, the only thing you don't do is phone them. Is that right? Is that taboo?
My goodness, that is old news, man.
Is that kryptonite, phoning somebody? Is that the worst thing in the world?
Not at all. They're just less likely to want to talk to you.
It's certainly not the easiest thing to do.
Okay.
Nope. But
it's much easier to send an email and ask them if you can call them.
Hold on. If you're sending an email from someone they don't know, are they going to accept that email?
Well,
Tommy?
While he's thinking of his answer, hold on, everybody.
Are they going to accept that email? I'm not sure. The phrasing's weird.
People on Twitter are wanting to learn something. They haven't learned anything yet on this show. So I've got something for everybody. You know, in a bag of pistachios, there's usually a handful of them that you cannot get open.
Yeah.
If you take a half shell, slide it in the little baby crack there, and then twist it, bam, there you go.
Yeah,
you don't have to waste any more pistachios. They all open that way.
No, some of them don't have a little crack to put it in, okay?
Yeah, they do. Yes, they do. I just did the tiniest little opening. It was the tiniest. I barely got it, and you just wedged it along in there like a can opener.
Okay. You know
so
what?
There you go.
Here's what Casey Donovan said on my Facebook group. He said, marketing is great for attracting active job seekers, people early in their careers, or if you've got a mass hiring situation. But people in mid-career, they don't pay attention to your content, especially top performers who ignore employment marketing. So what you're sort of saying, are you saying that you get to know people on these sites like Quora so they know who you are, they recognize your name when you send them an email, or do you just say, oh, you know, this guy had a good article about working at Google, I'm going to find his email address and send him something, even though he doesn't know me. So he'll see Tom Marino III, or he'll be a marketing recruiter or whatever it is. And what's your subject line, Tom?
What does LinkedIn say about the trash that they put out about when you message somebody in a group, you reference the group? It's one of the, according to them, it drives your analytics way up. It drives your response rate way up because you're referencing something that they're at least familiar with.
So what's
well,
in
how
the
does
subject
that not apply
line?
To the rest of the internet?
What's in the subject line?
I try to not be too robust with my subjects. I go with I like something you said, referring to a post they made or referring to something they shared or something like that. Something that they'll remember because it was recent.
I just got to wonder, why do people never come with a real story? Oh, last week I sent something to this guy. This was my subject line. Saw you discussing how you got hired at Google or, saw you discussing how you slept at your desk at Facebook. Is that's not it, or sleeping on your desk? Is that the subject line? I mean, what are they going to – I get a lot of junk mail. Some of it I don't open up, or it even goes to my junk folder, right? I'm just wondering why people open your email and read it and then go to the site and then sign up. I don't know. I'm wondering, okay?
Look, there's not –
You don't
want to
tell me.
There's not one path. If you do once – what do you mean I don't want to tell you? Obviously, it's contextual, because if you're not sending something that's in context, you're sending trash.
Yeah. Okay. What about LinkedIn? What are you? Do you use LinkedIn for resources?
I mean, for software people sending in mails, you might as well, shoot yourself. I mean, it's terrible for that purpose, again, because they're hounded. I've been told it's wonderful for other businesses, just not mine.
So you don't send what percentage of your in-mails are get replied to, or do you not send them at all?
No, I mean I for lack of being able to contact somebody, if I really can't find somebody any other way, I will. It's pretty low, but I've sent very few of them.
Okay. But what percentage of your candidates are sourced from LinkedIn?
Make something up, dude. 30%.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe
30%.
Maybe a quarter. Maybe, yeah,
25-30% probably.
Okay.
Maybe a quarter of them I find there first. But, I mean, I'm sure all of us are, you know, once you find somebody, you look for them in multiple places and try and learn more about them, right?
Really? Why?
Because you want to have something to say that's relevant.
Like what? Okay, so in other words, you know, so you've already told us that your first outreach is by email, not phone. And then there's this other issue then about customization of the email. How much time do you spend doing the research to personalize that email, the first outreach email?
A few minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
Is that all?
If you can't, you know.
Yeah,
I mean... how much, I mean, you know, if you know, the ideal situation is you find a LinkedIn, you find a Twitter pretty easily, you know, maybe you find a homepage, and you can scan and learn quite a bit about somebody and have something relevant to say pretty quickly.
Like what?
I don't know. I was driving down the street this morning, and I ate my burrito and spilled it all over myself.
Yeah, okay. You know,
say
what?
Something
does anybody want to help me? Me and Jerry.
Animal, I'll help you out.
Okay.
Blake Cannon on Twitter mentions that the Animal Show staff, being just you and me, we need to add somebody that's going to get other guests. Meaning, some people think that we need. Okay, so I was saving this surprise for you later on, but I'll tell everybody. We might have Penelope Cruz for our guest next week. I'm just throwing that out
great.
There.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm working on that.
Yeah, okay.
She joined up on my content marketing thing, and I'm
I've got to tell you, about five people have hung up on us already, because we're not getting
Nowhere, dude.
To the meat.
People called in. They wanted to learn what is going to replace us. So far, nothing.
Okay, well, let me switch gears. I'll stop talking about the future of recruiting, okay? I just thought this guy had a plan that he wanted to share with us, okay? Because he was so confident. I liked what you said at the beginning. You dinosaurs, you're going to be on the beach in the Bahamas while other people take over the industry.
I was hopeful. I was very hopeful.
Completely differently.
Oh.
Yeah, well, I thought you were going to tell us, but I've been begging you to tell me exactly how you're doing it, and you don't want to. So I'm going to move on.
What are you talking about? Become a marketing recruiter. Adapt to marketing.
You know what? It should be a little more granular than that. If you don't understand that we want a how-to, a step-by-step with examples from your own life or somebody else's, that's what we're looking for, okay?
Okay.
Now, well, let me move on. Let me move on. I'll ask you some more general questions that probably will work, okay? There's a woman named Victoria Purser, and she's a member of the Facebook group, and she said, look, employees are let go for a lot of reasons. And, you know, some people don't want to look at somebody who's been let go or fired. She said she's very open-minded. She said she likes people who've, you know, been let go. And because they have to prove themselves in their new job. They really have to show that they're good. So would you accept somebody who's, let's say, fired from a previous job?
Yeah, of course.
You just
want smart people. Yeah, you just want smart people.
Okay, have you ever hired anybody who was fired before?
Absolutely.
Well, can you tell us a story? Go ahead.
People, especially in early tech companies, they love to use this phrase culture fit, which is you know, they weren't goose stepping well enough for the early stage of the company. You know, they might have had a thought, God forbid, and you know, I mean, there's places like that. It's more common in bigger companies, but it happens in smaller companies. You know, and you want people who have thoughts and will stand up to their boss and say, no, that's a stupid thing to do.
Sorry about that. I just, darn it. Spilled these everywhere, shells everywhere.
Okay, so okay, you don't have a story. You don't have a story about someone who was let go.
I just cleaned my office, too.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Jerry. You don't have a story. No stories, right? No stories. Move on, Animal, right? Tom Marino. Tom, TM3.
What was his name?
Yeah.
Okay, you don't have a story for me about that, right?
Well, I supported a vice president who had been fired from his previous position for, you know, wasn't working out reasons. And was a wonderful mentor, somebody I still speak to, has gone on to build amazing things at amazing companies. People get fired for the dumbest stuff all the time.
Yep.
Really?
Shouldn't be.
Did you place that guy? Or is he just your mentor?
No, I worked for him after.
He supported him. Didn't you hear that, animal?
I didn't know what it meant.
Just accept it, man. It's ambiguous. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You support him.
You
know, I'm with you.
I built his team. Is that better? I built
there you
his
go.
Team.
Yeah.
Specifics.
Yeah.
Love
yeah.
it.
We speak
supported,
English here.
Built.
Okay. Chad Balbi.
Supported is in English now.
Chad Balbi is an experienced recruiter both on the agency side and the corporate side. He says 85% of recruiting cold calls are awful. 85%. Would you agree with that? Yeah, uh-huh. Okay, what percentage of recruiting emails are awful?
Oh, holy shit, a ton. I get because I have hot button technologies in my resume, I get recruiting emails 3, 4, 5 a week for tech jobs.
Yeah, and what do they sound like? Bad or good?
Oh,
somebody who's often English is not their first language, telling me what a wonderful Python developer I'd be.
Uh huh. So the problem is in that case you're getting Indian recruiters approaching you, and secondly is that they're not. You know, they're not appropriate. But let's say...
need to say international because I believe you stereotyped some stuff there, so you might want to redact that.
Okay. yeah.
I'm just telling you, man. You don't know what you're allowed to say anymore. International.
But I'm trying to get an email that wasn't bad because it was sent to the wrong person, essentially. I want one that, you know... It's sent to the right kind of – you're doing the job they're recruiting for. I want to know what it sounded like and what was wrong with it. But
generic cookie-cutter stuff. Hi, I saw you on LinkedIn, and you look like a good fit for my job.
What's wrong with that?
I mean, that's
– what's wrong with that?
You just sounded like the last 12 emails that I got today. Why would I talk to you?
Well, if you're looking for a job, would you look into it?
Well, is that why we do this? Is that why we charge 20% to 30% fees for people that are looking for a job?
Sure.
No.
Who are you kidding, dude?
That's another problem in itself.
He's got a point there, but look, I'm cornering you. What should you say if it's not going to be a generic email? What kind of thing should you say?
That is, you're not going to like the answer. You need to customize it to the person. You need to say something like you're speaking to another human being and not pushing out, you know, on a supply line.
Yeah. Okay. And give us an example of what might be said in a – you know, from the kind of people you place, give us an example of what you might say to somebody.
If I feel like I can – I have an audience of some sort. For example, if I've spoken to them on another forum in some way,
that's
I might
different.
Not even
that's
refer.
Different.
Refer.
Okay, go ahead. I won't interrupt you. Go.
I would say I might not even refer to the job in the first email. You're trying. The first step is a relationship. That's the first thing I was taught, at least. And, you know, if it's somebody dead cold, I would refer to somebody something again, at least in my opening line, probably not business related. Something, you know, if they said they liked football, for example, or whatever.
Or like the weather, like, wow, this snow is really crazy, right? Or something like that.
Well, that'd be pretty corny, but yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Really? And that's all you'd put into it? You wouldn't mention that you're a recruiter or anything like that?
No, you're supposed to sneak that in on them later, dude. Where have you been, animal? Come on.
Tom?
I would refer to something not business related in the open. You don't want to be more than a couple hundred words or 3 or 4 lines. Keep it very short, very direct. And, you know, I have tried on occasion and had some success with the only thing I say about the business is, you know, one short, you know, I'd like you to look at this, for example, in a link and not shove it down their throat. People don't want it shoved down their throat. People don't like to use car salesmen.
Do you say you're a recruiter?
Well, yeah, I would include my signature, so yes.
But you wouldn't say in the body of the email, you wouldn't say, I'm a recruiter, and I'd like you to take a look at this position, and then the link.
I
was kind of lame.
Refer to it very passively.
Okay. You know, there was an article posted this week, and I saw it was about this woman complaining that if you call a candidate at his or her desk at their company, that you're jeopardizing their job. She said, she didn't talk to a recruiter. She got five messages from this person. And if, HR wants to audit her phone logs, then they're going to see that recruiter calling her, and she's going to be, in danger of being terminated or something like that. That sounds like nonsense to me.
Complete crap.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Gary?
Yeah.
What's your opinion, Gary?
Crap. She's
crap.
An idiot.
Yeah, she's not a recruiter.
I've seen, emails come back from people. You emailed me at work. Same thing. You emailed me at work and et cetera, I'm going to get fired. Like, no, you're not. Shut up.
The
person's not going to talk to you. No, of course not. But, naturally, you wanted to talk to that person, and now they're probably never going to.
Okay.
Or at least you're going to have to wait until they forget who you are.
Uh-huh. Now, I saw
Or how about what's your home number?
I saw some content marketing blogging on a recruiting firm site, and the person claimed, of course, it wasn't written by a recruiter, it was written by a content marketer, and she claimed that past performance does not predict success. She said, "How often have you found the golden boy on paper turns into a golden-haired flop in person? Or someone with an impressive track record is unable to go the distance in your company?" I don't think that's true, that past performance doesn't predict success. What do you think, Tom?
I don't think it's the end-all be-all, but that's a big piece of it. If you have somebody that's done nothing but fail at everything they've tried, that's not a good sign.
Not a good sign. Yeah.
Let's just use an example here in current society. Let's say within the last month or so, some Syrian refugees have blown up stadiums in Paris. That does not mean that next month Syrian refugees are going to do the same thing. Is that kind of an example you're talking about?
Kind of. But
yeah.
We're talking about individuals.
Just trying to tie it in here.
We don't really want to go down this road, do we?
Not really.
Throwing
we
it
don't.
Out there.
But there's a guy I was reading on the, what's it called, the Fordyce letter. There's a guy named Bobby Marshall. Apparently he's a big biller. And he wrote 12 practices of big billers. And the first thing he put is that big billers are on the phone 2 to 3 times more than the average biller. It doesn't sound like Tom would agree with that. Am I right that you would not agree with that, Tom?
No, I don't. That may be true. I think that is that those high tempo, very sales skilled, they generate their business based on their sales skill. I think that is a diminishing trait. It's not over.
Oh,
it's not going to be dead tomorrow.
Sales and closing and wrapping stuff up and
closing and opening are two very different things.
Getting her done.
Go on about that.
Making it happen. All that stuff's going down the tube.
Tom said opening and closing are two different things. Tell us about that.
Opening with an elevator pitch nobody wants to hear. Closing is a sales function. Will always be a sales function. You're not going to close with a piece of content. Opening with the.
Do you do either?
Can I ask who's in the background sniping from 20 feet away on speakerphone?
Like
I think it's Blake Cannon. Blake, have the balls to pick up your phone and address this man. Come on.
Area code 512. Where's that?
512. That's at Blake's house. What? What?
Okay, he's not talking. Okay.
Yeah, that's
okay. You know
typical.
What? What do you think about this? I read another article.
You know, he's a married man now, Animal.
Congratulations, Blake Cannon. I saw the pictures. Everybody who was at his wedding is posting the pictures on Facebook. I've seen many, many of them.
I loved
okay.
it. I felt like okay. I was there.
Yeah. So everybody we know is getting married. Amy got married just a few weeks ago, and now Blake.
See how pissy he's getting, though? I mean, that's the business we're in. That's why we haven't done anything different since 1948. We're still selling the same product that Bob Half did 4 seconds after World War II.
Maybe it works.
Wait a minute. What product are you selling then?
Contingent recruiting.
Yeah.
Oh, well, he hates contingent recruiting. Okay, you want to say that? Let me see your quote.
Hello. Wait. Somebody's chiming
Jerry.
In. We've got a third speaker, fourth speaker. Go ahead. And you can be anonymous if you want.
I picked the phone up. You asked me to
Blake.
Pick the phone up.
Yeah, you had a question for our guest.
Tom.
I've been trying to work and I've actually been working as a recruiter, which this guy's not, but I actually had you on speakerphone, so I picked the phone up to ask the question. If elevator pitches don't work and closing skills are sales skills, which one of those do you use to recruit, if any? Because it sounds like all you're using is like marketing tools and blogs and stuff online. Do you ever
We're talking about the top of the funnel.
At what point in the process do you speak to people?
Did I stutter when I said the differentiating point has become being somebody worthy of talking to? Did you miss that part?
Well, yes.
I don't know if it's stuttering or not.
Yeah, it's getting scrappy.
Anything you've been talking about.
It's getting scrappy. I like it. Why did it take 45 minutes to finally get into some hearty discussion?
Well, I mean, I didn't realize you wanted me to be a prick. I can be a prick.
Yeah.
I don't want you to be a prick.
No.
Everything we've talked about, we're talking about the top of the funnel. We're talking about introducing yourself to new candidates, especially candidates that get hounded by recruiters because our business is inundated with assholes. So it's about how you introduce yourself. And if you think that you're going to continually, as our business continues to grow, especially in the market, and 5,000 agencies hire people 12 seconds out of school to become the new, you know, marketing recruiting manager.
Yeah.
When Robert Half hires idiots constantly, what do you think is going to happen? It's going to be more difficult to differentiate yourself. So if you are somebody, if you can differentiate yourself as somebody worth talking to before you have the conversation, I don't know, that might get you somewhere.
How do you differentiate yourself from everybody else by just listing your Twitter profile as National Recruiter?
Don't you write things, you do what is called inbound marketing, which is the opposite of interruptive marketing, right? Everything you see, radio ads, TV ads, print ads, as in an online sense, anything that interrupts your natural flow of what you're doing online, that's interruptive marketing, and that gets 10% of clicks online. The other 90% is organic flow, what they're doing. They're reading something because they wanted to. They're clicking on it because that's where their path brought them. And you want to be part of that path because that's where 90% of the traffic is.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
but
like
here's
on porn
said,
sites, then.
Yeah. Like, here's what.
Seriously, if you
Tom,
could tie in some kind of, porn deal.
Tom, here's
Sam
what
Sam is thinking out loud.
If you're writing things that people want to read, whether I know they're talking about publishing e-books, and I mean that can be part of it too at a higher level. I'm not talking about you're writing a new article on LinkedIn every 3 days. I'm talking about you're taking part in social media in a social way, and you're saying things that people want to read. Mm. That's it. Be have a presence of some sort. Besides continually thinking that, again, in the dynamic that our business is in, that you're just going to get people on the phone and hammer through them. That's going to become less and less successful.
Okay, but you won't give us any details beyond what you just said. That's our problem. You know, if you had some stories for us.
Here's the thing. If his whole pitch is marketing, branding, and differentiating yourself from everybody out there, how are you differentiating yourself from every other recruiter just by listing yourself as national recruiter. Nobody knows who you are.
What is your brand? Is that what his Twitter brand says? Is that what his Twitter?
Yeah,
that's a legitimate question.
I don't think I use that phrase at all. I mean,
I'm looking at your Twitter profile, and it says national recruiters. All it says, Jacksonville, Florida, joined August 2008.
Yeah, you get the wrong guy, buddy.
National recruiter.
You get the wrong guy.
I'm going to look it up.
Massachusetts.
It's the link I clicked off of your page there, Animal.
Yeah?
MKT Recruiter.
Is that you?
Is that
Tom?
You? MKT Recruiter?
No, I'm Recruit
Marketing. I put the wrong one. Sorry.
My bad, Dan.
I'm bad.
Maybe that's the problem, then.
Okay, but hold on. But Animal, at the beginning of the show, said that you had two Twitter profiles, Tom. And he then mentioned them. Was one of those not yours, but you just thought, nah, I'll go with it?
I don't think you read the wrong one. Maybe you,
MKT
I don't know.
Recruiter,
what is your
that's
Twitter
what
profile?
I said. I guess, no, you weren't, you know, I was talking so fast. But I got another question. You said in the material you sent me, the contingent recruiting model should die.
It should die.
Why?
Because I have been taught, at least, right? We want to present ourselves as consultants. We want to consultatively sell our services. The contingent model, just by it existing, more often than not, you don't have the same interest as your client. You're not operating on the interest of your client. You're operating on the interest of what you have in inventory for candidates.
Is your business a contingency now, or have?
I do some contingent. I obviously try to not, but you know, some clients prefer that. I mean, I'm not against doing it. I like money, and I like to work. But I, you know, much prefer being actually engaged with a company and, you know, not firing trash at a hiring manager and hoping that they tell me what's wrong with it.
Yeah, is that what you believe contingent recruiting is, or just firing trash?
No, not at all. Well, look, people are very good at it. I think that at its core, though, it's not a consultative product at all. It's your interests are different than your client. That's not a consulting relationship.
You say you're half and half retained and contingent, or?
I know I don't do it. I wouldn't say. I kind of put retained is different.
Is that an old school term? Retained.
Yeah, I mean.
Are you contained or?
I don't know.
He's primarily a commission or corporate recruiter. He's a corporate recruiter.
Yeah,
he said he was an agency recruiter. He said he was an independent agency recruiter. When I asked him what he did for a living,
That's not what his main thrust is.
Isn't what you do for a living your main thrust?
Yeah, that's what I've been doing for a few years. Yeah. No.
Okay, Michael Cox is asking me, what Twitter handle should we go to for you? Which one do you want to use?
So I have one that's kind of aimed at the big data and software space. That is at Headcount Guru, and I have Recruit Marketing, RCRT Marketing.
RCRT Marketing.
RT.
Twitter.
Twitter.com.
RCRT Marketing. Okay. I got a feeling that Market Recruiter is you as well. You don't like your Twitter picture on this RCRT Marketing?
You
look kind of surlier. I don't care
about the one that Blake said he went to that Tom says
MKT
is not his?
MKT Recruiter. Sorry, Tom, but I'm positive that's where we first started talking. Unless you're somebody else. And I got somebody I didn't.
No, this guy here is in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom, where are you?
I am in Boston, Massachusetts.
Have you ever been to Jacksonville? See, that's the deeper question that an old school recruiter typically asks.
Okay, hold on. He also says recruiting is antiquated. Our business is disgracefully antiquated and largely void of innovation. Our business is disgracefully antiquated and largely void of innovation. You want to explain that?
I'm getting a lot of feedback.
It's all
okay,
negative.
We don't have.
Sorry, no, I'm hearing it, and I'm hearing it over. I'm hearing the same question over three, four times.
Okay, but here's the thing: there's somebody saying you're headcount guru. It's headcount underscore guru is yours, not the headcount guru, right? Your head score, you know, headcount underscore guru, right? That's you on that one. Okay, there's some other people calling in. Area code 210 and 571. Anybody want to say something before the show ends?
You know that that's just free after show momentum, dude. They don't want to talk to you.
Well, you're having
you know
an after
that.
Show? Are you having an after show?
Yeah. We are going to talk about the crisis. Let's just save it for the after show. We've got some problems going on. We're going to talk about it.
Okay, Tom, let's see if there's – I have a, you know, I had a ton of questions here. Let me see.
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead, Mike.
So I'm trying to figure out where the using those keywords or those hot buttons then translates into actually speaking to somebody and then making a placement. And maybe a related question. So if I start writing a whole lot about sales and whatnot, do you really think that the guy in New York is going to read my crap and then be more open to speaking to me? Should I waste my time doing all that or just pick up the phone?
You can pick up the phone. And, I mean, look, maybe I am jaded by dealing with technical people for so long who, you know, again, are in short supply and get hounded by folks. You know, maybe I got it screwed up and I'm bitter at my purple squirrel searches forever. And salespeople might react much differently. I've done very little work with salespeople. If you're recruiting salespeople, yeah, write about sales stuff. And I mean, if you just put stuff out in the world and hope that they read it, no, that won't happen. If we're hunters. And you just need to hunt in a different way. Find out where they read stuff. Find them posting at a news group or on a Facebook group or something like that, post your stuff there. Shove it in their face and don't shove it down their throat.
Mm-hmm. Can we quote you on that?
It's a nuanced distinction, but.
Okay, I don't know. I don't know how I got the. I don't know how I got the Twitter handle wrong. I feel bad about that because everybody refers to people by their Twitter handle on the back channel. Oh boy, let me see if there's anything that we haven't discussed. I've enjoyed the show, by the way, Tom. You rolled. We gave you a hard time. I don't think you were properly prepared. But you rolled with it. I mean, I've had fun talking to you. It's not like you freaked out or anything, like some people have when you say, "Well, can you give me an example?" And they can't. They get mad at you for asking, but you didn't. Okay.
Yeah,
but
it was like, I apologize for not having contextual examples.
Yeah, well, that's if you would have read my website, you would have known that you're supposed to, but nobody ever does. Okay.
Here's a reality animal. Most people don't have examples of what. Of this stuff. I mean, they just don't.
No, people come on this show, they don't even remember the search they did yesterday. Can you tell me about a search you worked on?
Because
maybe they
didn't have a search yesterday.
Yeah, well, they may have had a search at least some point in their life that they tell us about, but they don't want
think,
to.
But I don't know.
Okay,
can we go back to the antiquated stuff here? Just real quick. I mean, look, the story goes, right? Bob Half. In New York in 48, and
Robert Half
recruiting was born.
Robert Half,
yes.
Did he start recruiting in 1948? Is that what the issue is?
Some people say that's the story. Other people have a different story. I just go with that one because it's easy.
Okay.
So what new products have we come up with since then, right? So he was selling – he started selling contract. He moved into perm, and then he moved into retained, right? And what have we sold that's different? Well, how about – we did RPO, and that's all screwed up. That's terrible. That's a terrible product at this point. We don't do anything new.
Well, some stuff doesn't need to be new.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Are eternal. Diamonds are forever.
Cars have always needed tires, and the tire stores aren't saying, hey, we need to get out of the tire business.
No, tires have certainly improved in the last, you know, X number of years.
Sure. And recruiting has improved, but you're still placing one person for one job with one company at a time.
True. There are a few companies out there that have kind of taken on a more, go in-house consulting model and fix things from the inside.
Yeah,
and
that sucks.
How does that suck? That's actually doing the real work.
That's what ex-agency guys use to sorry, Blake. I'm not going to say anymore.
Yeah. Okay. You know what, everybody? It's Tom's 36. Tom is going to be 36 years old tomorrow. I'd like to go out by wishing him a happy birthday. Is that okay?
Thank you.
We're going to sing Happy Birthday. Everybody knows that song.
I don't know that song.
Okay. But here he is. What's the Twitter address that you want all the people in the recruiting animal world to use for you? Headcount_guru, or is that other one? Which is the best?
The other one. Recruit marketing.
Recruit. What is it? Spell it.
RCRT.
Marketing.
Okay. I've never seen that. I've never seen it before. Okay.
So do you recruit marketing people?
No,
he does a marketing style of recruiting.
Come on. I don't like it.
Okay, so
he's a marketing guy.
So before we go to Jerry's after show,
marketing.
And Tom,
salespeople always love marketing people.
Okay. You and I have to get off. We can't stay for the after show, but we're gonna let you go with happy birthday.
Stuck.
Two.
Thanks for having me.
Three.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Come on, everybody. Happy birthday, dear Tom Marino III. Happy birthday to you.
All right, who's here?
Jerry, can you hear me?
It's Blake.
Derek?
Mike. Hey,
Mike, is Derek here?
Yeah, right here.
All right. Guys, how are we going to solve this Syrian refugee problem?
Jerry, let me interrupt you right now. That's not what your after show is about. You start your own show to talk.
This is his after show.
The after show is about anything
Why did you let Astringer go off and talk about all those things?
Hey.
Yeah, you let him go wild on your show. And
no, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Hey.
I got the original. I'll play it for you.
You know something?
Okay?
Yeah, here's you adding to the political correctness that's supposed to just silence all of us. Okay, none of us will talk about it. Let's talk about butterflies and flowers.
Was invoking religion earlier on the call? I mean,
yeah, animals the one mocking religion at the beginning of his show.
I did not. I said you have to believe in no failure, just like you believe in a religion. Okay?
You sprinkled the word allegedly and mistakenly and some other stuff in there.
When did I say that? No way.
Listen,
you have to believe that you can fail, you can go fall down and rise again.
Okay, so the Syrian refugee thing, that topic is off the table for now. Can I ask about a social media topic?
Whoa. Animal, you're still on?
Yeah, I'm here.
I'm still here.
Animal.
Yeah. So congratulations.
How come you didn't?
I wish you a lot of happiness.
Thank you, buddy. I need to. I'll ask about the. I'll tie the Syrian refugee thing into your show here, and ask how come a proper vetting of Tom Marino wasn't done.
Excellent.
Here's why I ask. Tom Marino is looking for a job right now. He's unemployed. He recently, as soon as 4 weeks ago, changed his Twitter profile from the other one to this one. I mean, there's a whole show could have been built around this. And we sat here and wasted time with a guy telling us why elevator speeches and sales guys were bad when that's part of our job.
And the successful people in recruiting are still doing everything that he says is going down the tubes while he is unemployed. I didn't know he was unemployed, Animal.
On his Twitter profile, it says he's looking for projects. To me, that would mean unemployed.
Yeah, how'd you let him on the show, Animal? See, Animal advertises on his Facebook, the People Online group, desperately seeking guests. Now, if you're desperately seeking guests, you can't be picking.
You need to
swing
find
it
somebody
back,
to find quality
guests. That would be just like us saying desperately seeking refugees. See? Coming full circle. There's no way to avoid that topic with this show. There's no way.
You can't get
past it.
Jerry,
what about only Christian guests from now on?
Jerry, did you see the White House's new hashtag mem? It's got Michelle Obama holding up a white thing with the hashtag that says accepting refugees. Swear to God. These people are fucking idiots, man. Anybody supporting these motherfuckers are absolute.
Animal's going to center you.
Well, why don't you do it? How come I have to do it?
Hey, that whole thing with A Stringer, that had nothing to do with me. And I can't have that cloud over my half of our show forever.
That was your fault.
Hey, I was the one that introduced him to you, Animal.
Yeah, it's Blake's fault.
He's funny. He's smart, but he's out of control.
Dude, you saw that he was a loose cannon. We don't have any loose cannons other than Blake Cannon on this show right now.
You know, I don't want to go too much into it, but I warned him. I gave him a final ultimatum. I said, watch your step. And then he went on to your show, and you said, you don't have to listen to what Animal said. You can do anything you want here. And he did.
No, I didn't. Hold on a second. As he was ranting, I kept saying, hey, that's not cool. You shouldn't be saying that. Knock it off. I did. Most certainly. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, he could have added a lot to this show today because this was a.
Is Tom Marino still on the phone? Is he still on the phone?
No, he's not, but I thought it was a good show. It was because it shows you lots of people have these ideas. They're not clearly worked out.
Yeah, it's called Can't Make a Living at It.
No. He was working in a corporate environment. Here's a guy. I knew he was out of work, or he's working freelance now, whatever it is.
It's called in transition now, Animal.
Yeah, he was
freelance is not corporate.
No, he was primarily for most of the time working in-house. That's what he was doing.
I'll tell you what. I went to the Jackson Browne concert last night.
Yeah.
He hardly played anything I knew. The buddy that came with me was drinking Jack Daniels all night.
Yeah.
We started booing him, just like I don't. There's no way to get away from this. Just like the terrorists at that soccer game last night during the silence for the people of Paris, they were yelling Allah Akbar. My buddy wasn't saying Allahu Akbar. He was saying, "Boo! You suck! Play something I know." So the guy right behind me stood up and said, I paid my money. Shut your damn mouth. It was just last night.
Doctor, my eyes have seen.
He didn't play
ears.
It.
No?
He played Winslow, Arizona. Whatever that one is.
How did that go?
Yeah. Take it easy. What?
I don't know.
Is that an Eagles song?
Yeah, he wrote it with him.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
hey, Derek.
Take it over. Yeah. I'm out, Jer. I'm out. You guys go ahead.
Okay, great. Let's talk about this Syrian refugee crap.
Got it, man. What do you want to talk?
What are we going to do here, people? And I'm not bashing anybody. I'm just saying, what are we going to do?
Well, I'm very fascinated that the White House last night refused to respond to both Democrat and Republican governors, all from Jerry Brown from California, for example, who kept peppering them, asking them, how are they vetting these refugees? And the White House says, we're not going to give you any of that information.
Well, but their spokesman did he kind of covered it this morning. They have they do an extensive biometric search. That's the term, biometric search.
Biometric search.
Like all these guys have backgrounds.
Biometric. Don't bother yourself with it. It's biometric. Extensive biometric. Well, so I told Animal. Well, no, I shouldn't say Animal. A friend of mine in Canada. I said, you can bet I'm packing everywhere I go. And he said, seriously? You're allowed to? And I'm like, yeah, you're allowed to. He said, like, you carry a handgun? I said, hell yeah. He said, you have to get a license for that, right? I said, yeah, but I got one. He was shocked.
I carry more than that, brother.
He was blown away that you can get a handgun license. But what would you do if it actually was going down? You guys with military training, you're cool as ice. Us, you know, Joe Sixpacks out here that just somehow got our license and we got a handgun, it could go wrong. A lot of pressure.
I know how you are. Jerry, I know how you are with a handgun, too.
You've seen me. I've practiced a lot. No, man, that would be crazy. But ISIS has already said, we are going to use these refugees to infiltrate the world. What more do we need?
And they are. I mean,
is there
seen,
a petition
I mean,
somewhere? Where can I sign up? What do I need to do here? How can we all have our voice heard? Is there a petition online or something to? I'm going to look right now. Oh, my goodness.
I got a beef with Derek. I'd like to talk about it here. I posted.
No, hey, not on my show. Not on my show. I'm sick. Hey, the last time I let somebody barely mention a concern they had with somebody, you about lost your whole radio show over it. Mike A. Stringer and all that. I can't have you mention a personal beef here. It's been a policy ever since then. Sorry.
Good policy, too.
It's a great policy. I learned my lesson.
Yeah.
Sorry.
The animal does have a show, right?
Hey, somebody had a beef with you the other day, though, didn't it, Derek? Who was that?
Oh,
last week?
Was it
our friend over in the UK that was... See, people outside the U.S. just don't understand guns. They think that we all sit around here just fighting off the urge to go kill people and rape people and commit crimes because we have a gun. You know what? I mean, that must be what they think, isn't it?
I think so.
I can't believe it. Animal.
Yeah.
What's on your mind?
You know, I criticized the guy's article. He says, you call me a liar? It's the stupidest thing. I couldn't believe it. How can you have a discussion group if you don't critique somebody's article? And I didn't call him a liar. It was ridiculous. I couldn't
remember that, Derek.
Yeah, I remember that, too. That's
what was the article about? I remember. It was about the agency tricking a dude into signing that he was going to pay for the fee.
Right.
An Animal misread it. He posted a synopsis in a misread way, and then you were upset thinking that he called you a liar, though he didn't.
Yeah.
No, that's not what happened.
You guys okay now?
That's not what happened. That's not what happened at all. I read his article, and it looked like
it was too long. I tried to read it, and I'm like, shit, man.
You didn't even read the abbreviated version.
Yeah,
I
did.
The article. It said that the agency was going to make him pay the fee, but really that wasn't the case. He didn't pay any fee at all. I mean, so I said there's an error there. He said, are you calling me a liar? I said, there's an error there. I said, are you calling me a liar? I mean, those two things are completely different. And you cannot talk to somebody if as soon as you question something, they get self-righteous. Are you calling me a liar? It's absurd.
I'm just following in the footsteps of the Mizzou children.
Who? Oh, those guys. You're patting in yourself after really admirable heroes there.
I know.
Mizzou?
Awesome.
Is that the Black Lives Matter?
I don't know. It's something that they think there's racism on campus and blah, 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 blah.
Man, this world's going crazy right now. It really is.
Yeah, because I read this morning that they were upset because
120 some odd people were murdered in France, and it took away their thunder, apparently. So.
Oh, my goodness, stealing the spotlight.
They actually said that. Yep.
They really ought to be upset with Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
He's got HIV.
4 years HIV positive. Wow.
Huh.
Oh, Adam Levine's got a cool tattoo, so there's that.
Yeah. There's one out of every 2.5 men have HIV.
Wow. Time to move. Immigration policy for New Zealand. Anybody know?
Takes a second, doesn't it? Damn, I get it. All right, guys. I've got some old school crappy business to handle here.
Yeah, me too. I got to go find some people.
Hey, Derek, speaking of finding people, send me your old government contractor software database. I need 8 of them here in Fort Wayne. Windows
for
developers for GD.
Oh, for Microsoft.
I know you don't need it anymore, and I know that you snagged a copy of all of it. That's what we all do. Hey,
that's what we
delete
all do,
that
yeah.
animal. Delete the last 30 seconds. Send it to me, Derek.
Later, Jerry.
All right, later, everybody.